Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I bring you greetings from Dr. Stanley Olson, our new president at Wartburg Seminary, and from Dr. Winston and May Persaud as well. It was imparted to me at an early age that there's a certain way of doing things. Get an education, get a job, get married, get a family. Then what? It can seem like life is a constant cycle, a graduation from one step to the next, following a progression that was set for us by our ancestors that we're to follow to completion. But sometimes things don't always work out the way we expect them to. Things happen. Life happens. I grew up in Delray Beach, Florida. It's a small beach town. Now it has grown quite a bit. And I enjoy living near the beach and activities. We had a great mix of cultures that I would come to appreciate as I got older, with people from Haiti and Cuba and Puerto Rico, the Bahamas and more. And I was baptized into the Lutheran Church as a baby. And my mother took us to the church where she had been baptized. And we worshiped and went to Sunday school each week. My grandparents were the first great influences on my faith, and they were founders of the church that we went to. I had a younger brother and a sister, and by the time we were a family of five, we'd stopped going to church. Our family would go on to grow to seven after I gained two more sisters. I don't know if it was too much for my mother to handle, as my father did not attend church often, or that she decided she no longer felt drawn to the church. It would be over 20 years before I would attend church again on a regular basis. I thought about it, and I knew that God loved me, and I prayed especially in times of crisis, but I felt that I was too busy with life. I went to Florida State University and got a job at a radio station. I moved to Los Angeles and worked for a radio company there. I moved to Las Vegas in the desert and met my wife. I worked at a radio station there selling advertising to casinos and nightclubs and businesses in the area. And we went to nightclubs and shows and parties. But it was when we were married and discovered we would have a baby on the way, my daughter, Lily, that my wife and I decided to find a church home. She was born and raised in Las Vegas, but her mother was from Cuba. So we tried the Catholic Church for the first time, but it had been a long time since she felt connected to that church, and we kept searching. We found Holy Spirit Lutheran Church in Las Vegas and felt welcomed right away. We were warmly greeted upon arrival, and the next afternoon we received a visit from one of the church members who delivered a loaf of homemade bread to our home. We began attending each Sunday. We got involved in Bible studies and service projects. I assisted with worship, and we led a men's ministry. We read the Bible together. We grew in our faith. We remembered our baptism, and it changed both of our lives. When a member of the church staff suggested that I attend seminary and become a pastor, I did not know what to think. I had never even heard of such a place. I didn't know that I would move across the United States and leave my job and friends and family to devote my life to preaching the good news to people all over the world. So I didn't think about it. I just kept on doing what I was doing. I knew that God was calling me when our ministry coordinator at the church told my wife this time, "You know, Jason should think about seminary." And when my wife told me to check it out, I listened, because I'm stubborn, but I'm not stupid. So I began my investigation, and I learned about what we do as seminary students and prayed for God to show me the path that I should take. I asked the Father to let His will be done in my life, and I prayed this prayer every day. One day while driving to the office in the morning, I thought about staying in Las Vegas and staying at my job and staying at our church, and just following that same path I had been on, and It felt like a punch in the stomach. My heart dropped. And I knew that God was calling me to something more, calling me to something new. So while my wife was pregnant with our second child, my son, Isaac, we visited Wartburg Seminary, and we continued to pray about living out this call in our lives, because it was a frightening thing to uproot my family with a son on the way and move to a new place and take on this challenge and put our whole trust in God. I met a good man at Wartburg Seminary. Some of you may know him. His name was Winston. We met many wonderful people there, faculty and students, and we decided to step out in faith. And the more I prayed and listened, I knew my life had prepared me for this next step. And God had a plan for me and had been making me ready for what was to come. So I told my friends, and to some of them it might have seemed upside down that we were making such a big change. And in the Bible, we often see Jesus in events and relationships that are upside down according to the way we human beings arrange them. Jesus is the King who was crucified, who says that the last shall be first, and blessed are the meek, the poor in spirit, the persecuted. And Jesus tells the rich man to go and sell all that he has and give it to the poor. This Jesus comes to John in the wilderness to be baptized. We're told that John recognizes that Jesus is the one who should be baptizing him. And he objects. He would have prevented him. He recognizes Jesus as the one whose sandals he's not worthy to carry. He sees the one mightier than him, who's to come and baptize with unquenchable fire. Yet, Jesus asks John to perform the baptism. And what power does John wield? What power could he have that he could baptize the Son of God in the River Jordan? But Jesus insists it must be done to fulfill righteousness, to fulfill all that God requires to begin the first step in God's saving act that will forgive the sin of the whole world and bring the entire creation into righteousness. This is the righteousness of God. And Jesus obeys in being baptized. And John obeys in performing the baptism. This is the righteousness that we receive by the grace of God, reckoned unto us by no means as a result of anything that we do. Now, what power does John have? What power do we have? John obeys. We obey. In John's gospel, we hear that the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God rests upon him. In our baptism, we're united with Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. We're called to obey. John performs the act on earth, but it is the power of God present in the water and the word. The baptism is God's magnificent work and not our own. The power that comes from God, this is the power in baptism. The word and the water, these are the work of God, who initiates us into a life of faith and makes us children of God through grace and mercy. The Father loves the Son, so we can have faith that Jesus Christ is our Emmanuel, God with us each day. Our days are marked by rites of passage like graduation and marriage, anniversaries, and more. And each day brings a new step forward in our lives, and it's because of where we've been that we know which way to go. It's in our baptism we're initiated into a priesthood of all believers, in which God says to us, "You are my dear child, with whom I am well pleased." But this isn't just another event to mark entrance into the faith or passage of time. In our baptism, we're united through faith, united with Christ, the incarnation of God to come to earth for the salvation of all creation. We're graduated and initiated, marked with the cross of Christ forever, as God's people. This is good news, but will we let it change us? Will we let it guide us every day of the week? How do we live out this baptism? In the words of the psalm, those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. We put our trust in God. We can step out in faith and know that God will provide for us, whether we go across the world, across the nation, moving our family and leaving friends and a career, to go to seminary, to come to Guyana. We can put our trust in God, and God provides. This word can change your life. It did for me. So tell others what it means to you. In the Word of God, Jesus Christ, we find life. And life happens. Thanks be to God. Amen.